podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening and welcome back to another depressing episode of Red Tinted Glasses. No, our podcast is not depressing, but it is depressing speaking about the Dons. And thankfully, on this episode, I'm not going to have to speak to myself for 45 minutes. Callum, you've gone back home, found a dark corner to cry in, and all looks to be good so far, touch wood.
So far, so good. Let's not count our chickens. I apologise both to you and to the lovely viewers that are tuning in. If you listened on audio, it probably sounded not so bad, but it was a shit show on the live, so I apologise for that. But new flat, new Wi-Fi, it's all a big nightmare. But I'm here, thankfully. And thankfully, I wasn't at Pataudry last night. I was working instead. I totally forgot that the game was even on. Until about 10 o'clock I looked and there was notifications to say we'd lost 2-0. So it was just as well, and thank you very much, Sam. I do try, all right? I tried.
Yeah, nice of you to join us in general, I think. But, you know, probably lucky you not having to be at Pataudry, because it was a fair thought last night, you know. Not always the nicest of conditions at times last night in the rain. And driving wind as well, but I mean, if last night was a chore, I hate to think what the coming games and those braving going down to Paisley are feeling like after last night.
Yeah, braver than I, or more loyal than I, shall we say? And yeah. I'll be in Nando's once again, thankfully. So that's probably something. Oh no, I've just said where it is. Damn it! I'm gonna have to censor myself later on. But it was interesting team lines, Glenn. I didn't expect, well, much of it, let alone any of it. I didn't expect much of it. It was very bizarre, I thought, and someone mentioned it in the comments, actually, about it was Graham McWilliam saying, Warnock experimenting with players and formations is exactly what we don't need at this critical stage of the season. And I tend to agree. Glenn, what were your thoughts when 11 came out?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you saw that comment from Graham, because I was going to bring it up on screen as well, because I totally agree. And not just to start a game, obviously we saw it in the Motherwell game where that experiment went fucking totally wrong. And obviously kind of changes a lot during the game, and that's not just players, it's formations as well. We saw that last night with Richard Jensen getting hooked at halftime, I'm assuming on the back of conceding the penalty. Not just being as soft as shite again. But four changes again to the starting lineup. Look, we've been calling for Angus McDonald on this podcast. Everyone's got an opinion on Angus and what he brings to the side. I was glad to see him back last night. We'll maybe speak about his involvement in the second goal. I've seen it kind of generate some debate. Bewildered, I feel, to see Johnny Hayes returning at left wing back. For me, extremely harsh on Jack McKenzie to be dropped down to the bench. I'm not sure what he did to deserve his place on the bench. Jack Milne coming in at right wing back in place of Nicky Devlin. Nicky Devlin obviously having the mistake against Hibs. Was dropping him justified? Not too sure. But look, Jack Milne for me is probably one of the only players that got pass marks last night. Even if, for how tall he is, he does like to jump underneath a ball. I would like to see him win a couple more headers. But I mean, aside from some of the other stuff we saw last night, I don't want to be too critical on Jack. And Leighton Clarkson also coming in. So Duke and Polvara missing out. For me, Leighton Clarkson, I spoke about it to myself on the last episode, that the link-up play that he offers Bojan Miovski, for me, worked. And we saw that at times in the first half, but one or the other, whether it was Bojan or Leighton Clarkson, just couldn't quite get on to the end of the ball being produced. Leighton Clarkson himself passing up a few opportunities in the second half. But it's quite telling that Neil Warnock's continuously ringing the changes, and he can't find that right formula. And obviously, going back to the point from Graham, it's not the right time to be experimenting, and we don't have the games. And look, I said it on the last episode about hoping that Ross County didn't win. And Stephen, if you're watching this podcast, Stephen, who I work with, walked away when I said I was glad that St Mirren scored to avoid putting pressure on us with Ross County 2 points behind us had they held on Tuesday night. Doesn't look so silly now, given the result last night, because, you know, kind of looking at the table, Ross County do have a tough run of fixtures coming up between now and the split. I'm not saying I see where our points are coming, but certainly that game coming up at the end of March at Pittodrie, Aberdeen versus Ross County, could... I remember a guy behind me last night saying, a relegation battle, we'll get 18,000 for Livingston. We could get a sellout against Ross County at this rate.
I mean, we're only 4 points above Ross County, so it isn't actually ridiculous talk. And it was mentioned in the comments once again. It's usually you that does this, but I'll give it a go. It was John Bleasdale saying this has shades of Hibs 2014, a club sleepwalking towards the playoff and a lack of characters to get us out of it. And it sort of felt like that slightly. I feel like I remember sort of people mentioning this kind of thing the past couple of seasons before the change of manager actually worked. This time it's not. And I certainly do agree with John. It does, I feel like we always thought we're too big to get relegated. We'll be fine. Yeah. There's other dross down there. But if we were to slip into that playoff spot, I wouldn't necessarily fancy us against Raith Rovers, who've been very, very good this season. And Jim Goodwin could have a point or two to prove as well. So if it was to be Dundee United. So I'm getting a little bit concerned. Could you sense concern sort of in the crowd? How was the atmosphere last night at Pittodrie?
Nervous. It was weird. I sat in the main stand last night and I said to Niamh during the game, I said, this is weird. I felt the crowd was nervous and the crowd almost sensed a mistake happening, a sense of the inevitable of us potentially, you know, going behind and things. I don't know. It was really strange. The red shed felt quieter than normal as well. Maybe that's just how it normally sounds when you're not sitting in it. And I don't know whether some of that nervousness, frustration filtered down from the stands to the players, certainly as the game, you know, developed, especially the more we went 1-0 down. But yeah, a really kind of a strange atmosphere. And again, I don't know how much that is affected by the formation and the team coming up, because we don't know what to expect when the players come onto the pitch, but we also don't know what to expect in terms of a performance. And as Paul Donaldson says, you know, he says he thought starting with a back three would end up being a disaster. We conceded the first goal. Again, I'll add that in for you, Paul. Had to go for it in the second half and left ourselves open. So it's that uncertainty for us as fans, knowing what to expect in a game so crucial, potentially had that little bit of an effect on the atmosphere. The other kind of effect on the atmosphere for me, and maybe a lot in the crowd, is Kel Roos and that nervousness around a defence that I think, surprisingly for a lot of people, whether you were for or against Neil Warnock, were probably expecting Neil to come in and shore up the defence, make us a bit tougher, give us a bit of steel, get a backbone, everything this squad is currently lacking, or you could actually argue the board is also lacking at this stage. But yeah, we've got even worse defensively. Who'd have thought it? And there was a moment in the first half where there was a ball into the box, no pressure. Angus McDonald heads out for a corner. And as soon as the ball was almost on Angus's head, out charges Kel Roos to try and claim the cross. You know, no communication there. Uncertainty reigns supreme in that defence. And probably why we're having to change our back line more often than not, because we need to find folk that are comfortable to play in front of that. And I know there was a comment, I can't remember if you starred it or not. Yeah, you did. Paul, from Paul Reiki, when he said things are looking up, Roos caught a cross. And again, I know Phil mentioned it last time he was on the podcast. But once again, huge ironic cheers at our goalkeeper catching a cross just gives a sorry state of where we are at this moment in time.
Yeah, which, I mean, probably won't do good for anyone's confidence, really, let alone his. But at the same time, it's so understandable. I've seen the highlights, though, and, you know, no goals are his fault. So that's also maybe an improvement as well. But going to the back five, where clearly we can score goals in games for the most part. Okay, Kilmarnock and St John's are aside, I guess. We can create chances, we can score goals, he provide for Bojan Miovski. But then going to the back five at home against St Johnston limits that. And I know the thinking is we're leaking stupid goals, try and shore up the defence of the three centre-backs in there. But when the centre-backs are a large part of the problem a lot of the time as well, maybe barring Angus McDonald for the most part, it doesn't really help, does it? And it's a bit baffling.
No, it doesn't. And look, I know people will probably criticise us for saying, you know, barring Angus McDonald for the large part. Are you going to blame a centre-back that's hardly played any minutes this season for, you know, lacking match sharpness? You know, if you believe the rumour, Stefan Gartenman is a defender that's being offered a new deal with the club. And again, I go back to seeing some of the debates on social media about, you know, we wanted the club to exploit foreign markets, and we did so with the signing of Richard Jensen and Stefan Gartenman. And, you know, I said on the last episode about how Richard's a Finnish international at this moment in time is beggars belief from some of his recent performances. And Stefan Gartenman, I mean, looked solid in some of those European games, looked solid in the opening when we had at Ibrox, the 3-1 game, obviously scoring there as well. But it was painful watching him last night, Callum. St Johnston came with a clear tactic. And, you know, my point here is that people will maybe look to criticise Angus McDonald or Richard Jensen. What was really telling last night, both first half and second half, they kept their striker on Stefan Gartenman. They identified who the weakest centre-back was for us and exploited it. Pass after pass, long ball after long ball. Did we do anything to change it? No. Now, whether that is on Warnock, probably, but could it been the centre-backs could have, you know, switched it themselves and said, look, I'll take him instead because he's pacey as fuck and you're not coping with it. Second half, three times the long ball over the top caught Stefan out. Kel, you know, as always, rooted to his line or slow to come off it, not kind of helping narrow the angle. There was a warning we had prior where I think Stefan expected Roos to come out. Roos expected Stefan to deal with it. Thankfully, between them, we conceded a corner. But fourth time of asking, we get punished. We're not learning from the mistakes. And I know Neil Warnock said, again, avoidable goals because, I mean, what the fuck's Richard Jensen doing up here with his hand? Easiest penalty you'll see, unless, of course, the match is being played in Dingwall. You know, I get why people will be angry at Neil Warnock. I get why people will be angry at the board. But the board and Warnock can't do anything about the stupid errors we're making. You know, the players, again, I've said it countless times and I'll continue to say it, they have to apportion a lot of responsibility and blame for the mess that we found ourselves in. Step up, take pride in this jersey, take pride in playing for this club, show you actually care about the paying punters that are blindly going to follow you to Paisley, to Dundee, to Motherwell over the next coming league games. League games are crucial to the rest of this campaign and keeping this club out a relegation playoff zone. None of them seem to care right now. And, you know, to pick up on the point about Neil Warnock throwing players under the bus and, you know, me speaking about reverse psychology, Stewie Walker made a good point. Craig Levein did the exact same to his St Johnstone players after the weekend, given their recent run of poor form. Let's not remember, this is a St Johnstone side. They've only won 2 league games away from home this season, only scored 4 away league goals this season. In fact, they've only scored 8 goals away from home because the other 4 came against Alloa in the group stage games. He berated his players after the game at the weekend. They were prepared to do anything for their manager, prepared to win 3 points. Our manager berates our players, They couldn't give a flying fuck. That is the problem.
Yeah, I think Levine sort of did similar, because we played them right after they got knocked out of the Scottish Cup as well. And then they come up against us and, well, not even arguably, they deserve to win that game down there too. In fact, very harsh not to, if it wasn't for some questionable refereeing decisions at best. All I can think about when I think of this group of players right now is, do you remember that video of the prefect just going, "I'm getting really sick of you"? That's just me right now.
Yeah,
it's incredible. I mean, I don't understand, because a lot of it is individual errors, and of course there's been issues with management this season. The issues go way higher than that, you would seem. Dave Cormack at the game yesterday as well. Which is interesting. I suppose we'll touch on that now. What do you make of that? Do you think it's to do with the review? Do you think it's to do with simply showing face, showing he's interested, whatever? Or maybe perhaps in the country do some interviews for the manager? Not that I can think of anyone who would be wise to take this at this point, because how can we pitch our attractive job at Aberdeen when we might be in the Seaside League next season?
Well, this is the thing. I said this last night as well, and again, I've seen it mentioned. What makes this job attractive right now to, those managers looking in, other than, I guess, the biggest attraction would be putting the club back to where we feel we belong, because we're obviously in a position in the league currently that we shouldn't be. As a club and as fans, we should be where Hearts are, or challenging Hearts and the top two. That's where we should be. Yes, we've been doing good in the cups this season, but we're not a cup team. We should be fighting on all fronts. And I guess that is the worry, is, I guess, when, and it goes back to me, the players, a manager could look at a club and think, "I fancy that challenge." But the manager could look at a bunch of players and go, "I've got a fucking huge amount of work to do in the summer." And again, you look at the work that's going to be needed in the summer. Stefan Gartman is on loan, so whether he signs or not, let's say not, he's away. Miovski, let's be honest, he's not staying. Duke, you probably sell for some money right now, because we need the money to rebuild this squad. Who else stays from some of this squad? Who else is good enough? Because we're not seeing all the squad right now. And again, this is why I'm not putting this entirely on Neil Warnock right now, because I think Neil Warnock knows how deep-rooted some of the problems at this club are. And I think, if you listen to some of his press conferences, he said that he might have to start lying about the situation at Aberdeen, because when he's too honest about it, folk don't like what he's got to say.
Yeah. You can't really blame him. He does sort of, he says what we're all thinking, but when it's from the manager, you do sometimes think, should he be saying that? And whether it's throwing some people on the bus, and someone said in the comments that bus is headed towards Capilo at the moment, which, yeah, it's fair enough. So for you, I guess, game is Johnston penalty, no questions asked, correct?
Yeah, that's an absolute stonewaller.
Okay. And did things get any better in the second half? Did you get the sense that Warnock had given them an absolute bollocking?
Yeah, he did. And again, I mean, how we don't score last night is beyond me. Leighton Clarkson, as I mentioned, passed up a couple of good one-on-one opportunities. Stefan Gartman had a header from a junior Hoylett corner, if I remember correctly, heads it down into the ground, and somehow we don't get on the rebound. Mitov also spills a corner again. I think it was from junior Hoylett. I felt like he spilt it at Duke's feet, but there was somehow a St. Johnson player lying on the line or somewhere to block it. And you just kind of got the sense after a couple of misses last night that it's not going to be our night. And that's it for me. After a couple of misses, it wasn't just a sense of it's not going to be our night. I was like, is this really going to be the season that we end up in that relegation playoff, because things like, you know, the penalty, like you said, why is his hand up there doing his best Jordan McGee impression? You know, some of the misses and the like poor, like, you know, even Bojan Miłowski didn't have his best night last night. Again, you probably let him off. But, you know, you just start to think, like, are things stacking up against us?
Potentially. And our players aren't doing very much about it to dig us out of this shit, which I guess alludes back to that point of sleepwalking towards relegation. I mean, you said we can let off Bojan Miłowski. Bojan Miłowski could not score between now and the season, and you still couldn't even be critical, because without him, we'd be just about down by now already, really, wouldn't we?
Yeah, no, totally. It really would be. I just hate to think where we would be, where we would be without him. And I guess the other thing for me, kind of going back a little bit in terms of kind of the arguments around kind of some of the stuff that Neil Warnock's come away with in recruitment and that, begs the question, and since we're not speaking about the game itself, because I know obviously you weren't there, I'll turn the tables and ask you a question. Would we have been better sticking off with Barry Robson? Obviously, given when we sacked him and what we've seen since, should we have just stuck it out until the end of the season with Barry?
I mean, it's arguably got worse, really,
hasn't it? I don't really feel it's an argument. I feel it's fact.
Yeah, I suppose the league table doesn't lie. No. However, it was trending in this direction anyway, you feel. It's probably 6.5 dozen. I guess Robson would have the benefit of knowing the players a little bit better, but his stubbornness was very apparent anyway, it certainly seems to me. But Sam Gordon saying my sympathy for Robson has increased exponentially. Do tend to agree a little bit, just by the way, the effort, the individual mistakes from the players. But at the same time, who played a hand? Well, I'm not saying he's entirely responsible with the recruitment and the director of football obviously involved too. But he certainly would have played a hand in some of these players coming in the door as well. These players coming in the door that have really gone off a cliff since the start of the season, really, it would seem. And I think we're also seeing, once again, it's just another shambles of a January transfer window where there's clearly areas that we should have improved and we didn't. And it's just depressing. And that apathy is creeping in once again, isn't it?
Oh, it's setting. I don't even think it's creeped in. Setting.
It's like a train, maybe.
Yeah. But Chris Mainland making a good point, because, you know, it wasn't, you know, long ago that we were saying that we've got quality players, but now the chat is they're not good enough. Now, is that they're not good enough from the managers? Is it from the fans? You know, again, you speak about the likes of Slobodan Rubicic. He gets better every game Neil Warnock plays, because our defence is getting worse and the value and importance of that someone like Ruby becomes more important. Esther Sokler, suddenly a striker that's becoming better by game because he's not getting the chances that he was benefiting under Barry Robson. But there's players that have done a decent job this season, and, you know, Jack McKenzie, a player that's proved certainly us wrong and loads of others, suddenly gets dropped last night. You know, and again, for me, goes back to some of the loan signings, Killian Phillips as well. Don't know what he offers. I thought he looked good against Celtic, but since then, all he seems to do is jump on top of people. He's too busy hugging players instead of trying to play football. I don't know. But maybe we only have a quality player or couple of players instead of a decent squad of players. It's not what we expected. There was a comment from Sam Gordon that I did also see, that the season ticket prices were briefly leaked on the club website earlier and the prices have gone up. Oh boy, I'm going to put the popcorn in the microwave, because the meltdown will be glorious when that comes out.
And justified as well. And by the way, if there's not fucking student prices, Mr. Burrows, I will be very, very unhappy. Certainly. I mean, one thing I want to pick back up on was you mentioned about Rubšić getting better with every game that he's missed, basically. And you tend to agree, but I do think he took on a lot of the physical battles. If there was a big physical striker, he took that on and he relished in it. Okay, sometimes he didn't come out on top and he got too involved or got too sucked in. And West Coast on, lovely comment there, thank you. And now it's Gartenman and Jensen that are having to deal with it. And they're not old-fashioned centre-backs, are they? But then at the same time, they're not exactly setting the world alight as ball playing defenders either. So I don't really know what the deal is with either of them or why they were really brought in.
Yeah. And, you know, to kind of go back to that point about Robson and should we have kind of stuck with him given when we did. I know he's not watching the live anymore, but Kaiser contributed to this earlier when he said the problem stems from not getting rid of Robson earlier. We could all see it was not working back in October. Now, you mentioned about Dave Cormack being there last night. You know, is he interviewing for candidates for the job? Is he discussing whether or not Neil Warnock's tenure should come to an end? Is he just showing face? Well, he's not fucking communicating anything, that's for sure. Mm. But us as fans could see it wasn't working out. And again, I feel like a broken record speaking about that Ross County win at the start of the year, which of course is our only league win of 2024.
Seems like so long ago.
Yeah, I mean, the only other fucking win we've had this year is against Bonnyrigg Rose, which tells you all you need to know. But it bought Robson the winter break. It was almost like the worst thing that could have happened to the club was winning that game, because it kept a manager that probably shouldn't have been in that job at that point in a job for an entire month, which we wasted, and left a squad terribly unbalanced going into a crucial point in the season. And we've now got an interim manager who some of us hoped would bring experience and stability to the club, who's bringing anything but right now. Well, certainly not stability. Experience is obviously one to argue. But there's no direction, but the only direction we seem to be going in is down just now. Yeah. But look, Cormack was there last night. What's it going to take to hear from Dave? Well, Zoe's on the board. Zoe Ogilvie, of course, experienced in PR. Would it be a PR disaster to put Dave in front of Radio Scotland again?
Yes.
Well, yeah, probably. But I saw Ali Begg speaking about, you know, even doing a Red TV interview, come up behind the club channel, hide behind the protected questions of Malpantin and co. You know, the club will give you an easy set of questions, Dave, that you can come out and answer. You know, you don't have to come and sit and face me and Callum. You don't have to come and sit and face Gary and Gavin at the ABZ, you know, who will probably throw you some real hard questions. You know, go and sit behind a cushy Red TV censored interview, but at least come out and speak to the fans that are looking for answers. But no, just looks all happy, happy as Larry in his media shots, you know, not concerned in the slightest. But fans have a right to be concerned right now. And I feel the more these results go on, more justified in wanting to hear from the club.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I'm doing PR at uni right now. We've recently been looking at how people have reacted in crisis and, you know, what people shouldn't do as well. And I have no confidence that Dave Cormack would do the right things. However, they did, you know, bang the drum about transparency. There seems to be plenty of that when things are going well, which doesn't feel like has been happening much at all in the past few years. But when it's not going well, there's absolutely nothing. There's fuck all. And I wouldn't even be that bothered had they not banged on that drum about transparency, to be honest. But the fact of the matter is, by the time we play St. Mirren on the 2nd, it could be 2 months since our last league win. So there we go.
But I just wonder as well, in terms of transparency as well, is are the likes of Alan Burrows, you know, is he wanting to be transparent? You know, I don't see, like, I'm blaming Zoe for not looking to put some positive PR out of the club. Is she maybe trying to do that? And Dave's like, fucking no chance. You know, I mentioned on the last episode how many people within that club are looking to speak out and are being censored by Dave right now and not being allowed to say what they want or say how they feel about the situation for fear of, well, fear of retribution, but fear of putting too much of a negative spin on the situation. Because, you know, Callum, we know all too well from trying to deal with the club and get certain individuals on this podcast that the club will only deal with us at a time when there won't be a negative reaction to their appearances.
Well, I saw actually another podcast as well. I had an interview planned with Francis Ogilvie, and that's been pulled as well. So they're not, even in a completely different side of the club, they're not even allowing that kind of thing at the moment. So that sort of tells you all you need to know, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it really does. I mentioned about, you know, the problems Neil Warnock alluding to, and or kind of maybe saying how deep rooted they are. You know, he comes out again with a comment last night, and you know, if players aren't playing for Neil Warnock, some of these comments really won't help. You know, he said he was impressed with four or five, but also not impressed with another four or five. I feel Richard Jensen might be in that four or five he wasn't impressed with, given he was hooked at halftime. I try to rattle my brain and think who the others might be that he was struggling with. I would like to think Stefan Gartenman's in line there. A lot of people as well were kind of discussing the midfield. Another thing that was really evident last night is how fucking small our team is. That imperious midfield of Leighton Clarkson, Connor Barron, and Graham Shinney, midget FC in midfield.
And then you've got, you could potentially have Dani Povara, Killian Phillips in there. I know you said you're not seeing much of Killian Phillips. I think what we have seen, maybe not in terms of being a footballer, anyway, we've not seen much of that, but he is aggressive at least. And if we're missing a bit of fight in the midfield, then perhaps he should maybe get more of a chance. Which we've not really seen at all. And we just do get bullied in these games, it seems. And, you know, Graham Shinney can run around and run into people as much as he likes, but physically we're going to get dominated in the middle of the park. And, I mean, Daniel Phillips, not a tall player, but I thought he was excellent down at McDermott Park.
He was excellent last night as well. Season.
Excellent again.
Built like a brick shithouse.
Exactly. The type of player we need. And someone mentioned about Ramadani. I was... probably dismissive of how much we'd miss Ramadani under the impression that we would replace him. And okay, maybe in some of his game, he was very limited, but the one thing he would do would be put a fucking graft in and not stop. We seem to be missing that. And in terms of the comments after the Kilmarnock game from Neil Warnock about them leaving stuff on us all the time, immediately after hearing that, I just thought,
well, how many times have you mentioned that on this podcast?
Just him running into Daniel Armstrong immediately.
But you've mentioned this as well in times when we've got pumped 4-5-0 and we walk away with no bookings. You know, you can impose yourself. You've mentioned it countless times. And I thought of that as well when I heard those comments.
Yeah, we're a bit of a soft touch, and that combined with several individual errors and players not being as good as we thought they were, as well as all the issues further up at the club. It's not a good recipe, really, is it?
A recipe for relegation. Has the manager already lost the dressing room? Jeff Moran asks.
Possibly. However, I think that would actually say more about the players rather than anything else, because, some of Warnock's comments have been a bit rash at times, but that's what you're going to get. And if you aren't going to respond to that well, when he's had so much experience in the game, he's seen every type of character in there. And if you are going to down tools or whatever, I'm not saying they've done that yet, although maybe that tells you a lot about some of their character, I imagine.
Yeah, no, I agree on that sentiment towards the players. But I think if he has lost the dressing room, I think it says more about the squad than we thought. Go on.
But also, regardless, at least put in some effort for them fucking selves. I said this probably a couple months ago now when Robson was still here. If you're Leighton Clarkson, if you're Duke or whoever, and you want to go and get that move, or if you want to be Stefan Gartenman, Rich Jensen, and try and keep your international place, play for your own fucking pride, if nothing else. And if they are doing that, then I'm seriously worried.
Yeah. I know you weren't at the game last night as well, but Sam Gordon saying that he thought Barron put in a shift regardless, maybe alone in thinking that. You're not, Sam. I would agree with that comment. I thought that Conor Barron was probably up there with Graham Shinney in terms of trying to put in an effort. I suppose for Conor Barron, he sometimes, to his detriment, tries too hard. He wants to be everywhere. He wants to be involved. He wants to be winning the ball. He wants to be getting the ball out wide. He wants to be getting this team moving. And there was a couple of occasions where probably tried to do that too much, and we ended up losing cheap possession or got caught a little bit on the counter attack. But for me personally, I don't think you can fault the effort or the shift that he puts in. And, you know, as James Jamieson says, effort is the bare minimum expected. What I would say on Barron is his fucking set pieces need to really improve. They were extremely, extremely shite last night. But in terms of what he was bringing to that midfield, he was at least looking to get on the ball and do something. It just didn't work. And, you know, again, saying the rant that Tom English and Willie Miller both had last night on Sportsound, Tom English pointing out the amount of relegations that Neil Warnock has. To be honest, I couldn't really give a flying fuck what Tom English has to say because he's had a bee in his bonnet about the fact that Neil Warnock's been here since day one and I think is delighted to see Neil Warnock failing. For me, I'm more interested in kind of some of the comments that Willie Miller's making towards Neil Warnock. Kaiser had said he gets the impression that Willie Miller doesn't like Neil Warnock. He doesn't understand the stature of the club, doesn't understand that the fans won't take to the laughing and the joking unless he's winning games, which I think we've already said when Neil Warnock first came in anyway. But yeah, I mean, some of the principle of what both Tom and Willie were saying last night on Sportsound, if you haven't listened to it, you can, of course, listen to it back. I do agree in parts, but Tom English doesn't help himself because he just probably hates the club and is delighted to see us suffering and Neil Warnock suffering as well. So for me, that kind of dilutes some of his points.
I mean, what gives you that impression about Tom English? but I suppose the fact there is criticism in sort of the wider media rather than just on here, guests speaks volumes as well, especially, you know, from Willie Miller, who sometimes struggles to hide his Aberdeen biases, and it's probably hurting him just as much, if probably more than me, who I forgot we were playing last night. I think the fact, you know, it's out there in plain sight for everyone to see, and it's a massive issue. And I mean, someone said Warnock, when he can't see when the next win's coming from, that sells you in serious problems. And to be fair, I agree with him. I would hope he wouldn't say that, because if there's anyone who's going to try and get us, that it should be him.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think as well, like, you know, you mentioned about the fact that you forgot we were playing last night. We've spoken about apathy creeping in, setting in. You know, Stu's birthday last night, he was at the game, left at halftime, was fed up, it was utter shite. I left at the second goal, there was folk that left before the second goal. There was nothing on offer last night that, as soon as that second goal went in for me, that suggested this team had anything about it to get back in to the game.
Yeah, I mean, certainly by the looks of things, from what I've seen, there was plenty of chances, as you mentioned, but the feeling of none of these are ever going to go in certainly creeps in quite a lot with Aberdeen. The second goal, Gartenman sort of caught under the ball, tries to jump, sort of does a half little prance when he's never going to get anywhere near it, and that just leaves him another yard off getting back to help, which makes no sense. And I certainly agree with the musical box who said, Callum, almost all the players for what we were playing last night as well sort of seemed that way. And is there any blame for you on Angus McDonald for their second goal? It was a brilliant ball, by the way, in the first instance, to be fair.
Yeah, it was a brilliant ball that they, as I said already on this show, that they were trying all night with great success in terms of getting the better of Stephen Gartman. I guess the only blame you could apportion to Angus McDonald is the fact that he anticipates Stephen Gartman's winning the ball. So stops, slows down, and that, obviously, the boy up front was rapid for them anyway. So losing that couple of yards of pace when he's maybe not the quickest in comparison already didn't help matters. But I think if you're Stephen Gartman, you've still got to be dealing with that. I saw the guy on Twitter, Vitamin T, kind of do some analysis. And the guy Dungheap 1903 put kind of the video clips as well of the goal. So between those two accounts, check it out. They've got a bit more deeper dive into it. But, you know, some of our press in terms of before the ball was played over the top was poor. We were kind of just standoffish, which allowed St. Johnstone to get easy out ball to then play the ball over the top. So as much as we could sit here and blame the centre backs, you've got to look at the midfield as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you don't follow Vitamin T, by the way, on Twitter, some of his analysis on things is absolutely excellent. So certainly suggest you get involved in that on X, rather. I probably do need to update these graphics, actually. That reminds me.
Who the fuck calls it X anyway? Everyone knows what we mean.
It's usually X, formerly known as Twitter. Anyway, so just call it Twitter. Just call it Twitter and hope that one day it'll be changed back and we can stop this charade.
I know, but you know, it got to the point where I got a text saying the person in front was like, even the podcast guys left, that's how bad it's got. Well, I mean, fair play to anybody staying to the bitter end last night, but if you stayed purely to boo that performance, you have my utmost respect for sitting out the extra 90 minutes, because obviously Stevie May could have and maybe should have made it three right towards the end of the game as well, which would have probably really sealed it either between him or Considine if he'd gone for a cameo appearance. The next three away games in the league are away from home, is what I meant to say. Fitba tweets commented this a little bit earlier, but kind of appropriate to where we are now. If you look at all the fixtures to come, there probably isn't an easier game than the Nodson at home. We've had three home games under Neil Warnock and taken 2 points, which is poor. We should really stop banging the drum about how many points we expect the club to take, because every time we do that or any form of optimistic, it goes terribly wrong.
For the next three games, I expect us to get none. How's that? How's that, Aberdeen? Fancy proving me wrong, maybe? Maybe? You like doing that, so maybe try it now, huh?
Well, let's see if your reverse psychology works better than Neil Warnock's. Keith goes on to say, not sure where the points are going to come from. Callum, would you agree with the sentiment? Because I certainly do. It's difficult that I'm looking at that Ross County game at the end of March thinking, oof, that could be a big one.
It could be a very big one. I don't see where the points are going to come from. Probably the game against Ross County, but how close could we be to the playoff spot or even bottom by that point? I guess we'll have to wait and see. And also, I suppose, the game in the cup against Kilmarnock as well. There's zero confidence going into that either. Would you take relegation in a Scottish Cup? I don't know.
Well, you know who we could potentially be coming up against if we finish 11th, by the way.
Don't. Hold on, Boo-Boo 1903. I do have a job, thanks very much. I was there last night.
A Jim Goodwin versus Aberdeen playoff. I mean,
oh God,
could see that.
I don't know what would be worse. I don't know what would be worse, that or Raith Rovers beating us and all of Caitlin's family just having that on me forever. I'm not sure what would be worse.
Definitely getting beat by Jim Goodwin. United fans are way more annoying.
No, I don't know.
Going back to the point from Keith about, you know, where the kind of next set of points are coming from, and obviously the Scottish Cup game in between those three away league games, probably be season defining at this point. Do you think the fact that the next three games being away from home benefit us? You know, I mentioned earlier on about the atmosphere being tense, nervous. Does away playing away from home help us then in that situation?
I'm not sure, because watching the game on Saturday against Kilmarnock, I felt had this game been at home, we maybe would have, the players would have, you know, had a baby a bit behind them to get back into the game, but you never felt that was really going to happen. I'm meaning a la Motherwell and Hibs at home, where, you know, we go behind and we get back into things, but on the road you don't really feel that. I never felt that was going to be the case against Kilmarnock. Yeah. And we'd probably feel the same in these three away games. And I'm sure the away crowds will be dwindling as well, and as they probably can't be arsed being there either. And who can blame them?
Yeah, exactly. Who can't blame them? Michael Monin texted me earlier, and you don't know what he said, so I said I was going to bring it up. He said, honestly, do you think that Aberdeen will finish 11th or not? I'm probably discounting Livingston here. I feel they're too far off. I know Willie Miller said the same last night, probably for the best for Aberdeen that they are kind of cut adrift from 11th. But do you see us finishing 11th, Carl?
I'd say it's a possibility now. Perhaps before, I would have thought, nah, there's no way we're going to slide to that. But these past few results, I think there's a chance, there's a real chance. I still think we'll maybe we have enough in terms of there is still some quality in that squad. You know, like say Boy Amiowski, if you can provide for him, we've got that over, you know, Ross County and Livingston if we're going that far.
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, I would say no. But I'm not going to lie and say I'm not worried about finishing 11th. You just need to look, for me, Ross County's fixtures. They've got their next three is Hibs, Hearts. They then play us. And I think after that, they travel to Kilmarnock and face Rangers. So where they're picking up the points to catch us, I mean, albeit some of their games are at home, they're kind of getting a bit of a manager bounce out of Don Cowie, but from us, you know, then the shoe's on the other foot. I'm looking at where Ross County is picking up points. Where are
Pathology,
we
probably.
Yeah. Where are we picking up the points?
Yeah, I agree in that sense. And it's a sad state we find ourselves in, really, isn't it? You know, I admire your 40-odd minute rant the other night. I just don't think I can bring myself to even be that, like, arsed about it, because it's just sad at this point, isn't it? And you know, losing interest, and, you know, I'm seeing so many people on social media saying going to Pataudry feels like a chore. And when that's the case, you know it's really bad. When you can't get out for even a game in your own city, it's not like you've had to travel several hours to and from the game. That just sort of says all you need to know about where things are at the moment.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And no worse place to go than Paisley, for those brave enough to go to Paisley, not just to watch Aberdeen, but going to Paisley in general, because there's no wins in six for Aberdeen when we've travelled to play St Mirren. Not what Neil Warnock, I'm sure, is wanting to hear ahead of the trip on Saturday.
No, not at all. And St Mirren performing well, a lot better than us in the league. We've had problems going down there. They've caused problems up here as well for us recently. I guess you could say arguably lucky to get a point down there earlier in the season too, depending on how you look at the Boy Amiowski penalty. I have no confidence in going there. It's a pretty terrible away day as well. So my thoughts do go out to anyone who is brave enough.
Stupid enough to go and watch us play.
brave or stupid at this point. Loyal is the word I'll
loyal,
go with.
Very true.
And you'd hope at some point this loyalty is going to be rewarded, but the hope is dwindling. And you just can't, I can't see it, can you?
I can't. Not that, like, given how impressive St Mirren have been at home this season and how shite we've been. I was going to say shite away from home, but shite just covers us in general. I just have no faith in this team where we're going to pick up 3 points at this moment in time. You know, and St Mirren are well in a fight for fourth place. I know we've got our own kind of business to fight for. I don't know what that business is right now. Staying up, hoping for six, fuck knows. But, you know, they've got something to play for going into this game. So do we. But I see a team in St Mirren more up for that fight than this Aberdeen team, which is depressing as fuck to say. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, so it was a week today I was on the Stand 3 Evening Express thing. And
is Ryan paying you to promote this every time you
he's
come
not,
here?
He's not. I was just saying that I said, you know, there's a chance we if we can sneak into that top six, I'd be delighted. Since then, we've lost 2-0 twice. And all of that little hope of sneaking into the top six, then maybe even potentially sneaking fifth and some sort of European football. Has gone, and I would honestly just be happy for us to finish 10th and forget this ever happened.
Yeah, just get the season done and get it over with, especially if in a couple of weeks' time we get popped out of the Scottish Cup by Kilmarnock. Just I saw someone tweet Nicola Sturgeon and say, can we get COVID back to end the season early?
I did see that too, and wouldn't be against it.
Dare I ask what changes you'd make going into the weekend? I mean, it's pretty hard to predict.
Can we do 10 of them? Do we have enough fit players for that? I don't know.
Surely 11. Surely Roos is getting dropped as well.
No, I'm keeping Bojan Miovski.
Oh, okay.
Come on, keep up. Honestly, I mean, well, the Jack McKenzie, he went off. How bad did that look? What happened there?
It's one of them things where Jack McKenzie comes back in because Johnny Hayes wasn't exactly a standout. But we're once again, you know, I speak about the defence and kind of being unsure, unstable, untrustworthy, goalkeeper as well. The more you change the defence, the harder it is for them to settle, and the harder probably for Kyle Roos to also settle in front of a defence he's not sure how will work with him.
So was Jack McKenzie injured? No.
No idea. He's not said.
That's mental if they've just taken him off after subbing him on at halftime.
Well, if he was injured, I wasn't there to see it. So.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the point. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, maybe I'd keep Jack McKenzie in. Other than that, I mean, to be honest, I don't want to put any of them in. Can we just play Jack McKenzie and Bojan Miovski? Maybe Connor Barron?
We just want a game of five-a-sides instead.
Yeah.
This can't be arsed
with 11. Let's fuck off with 11-a-side and we'll play five-a-side. We'll put an injured Slobodan Rubicic in the goal because he'll take up most of it. We'll put Dante Polvara out there. Jack McKenzie, Connor Barron, Bojan Miovski. Boom. Now that's a good five-a-side team. We can't make an 11-a-side team, but five-a-side.
Well, if we've learned anything from this episode is that if we start a five-a-side Premiership, we're winning the lot.
And we can put it in our honours like Hearts did with the tennis test sixes. So there you go.
There we go. Well, I feel like that's kind of an appropriate place to leave it, because it's a bit of a laugh and a bit of something to cheer everybody up after a fairly depressing 54 minutes so far. Thanks so much to everybody that's tuned in to this episode. To maintain over 140 of you tuning in for two episodes in a row, I don't think we've seen this number since this time last year. But also, obviously doing all these lives on YouTube, sometimes we have issues. Also, thank yous to those of you that have liked the video already. If you haven't, please do so. Subscribe to the channel. It is free to do so as well. We reached 1,850 subscribers earlier this afternoon, which is a huge milestone for us. I know Callum wanted to hit 2,000 by the end of the season. I mean, we've flown.
It's in touching distance.
It is in touching distance. Yeah, if you do enjoy these live shows, do hit that subscribe button. Notifications as well for the next time we're live. We'll need to check with your work schedule if we can do a Monday debrief after the weekend's game. And at least we've got a week off to prepare for the Scottish Cup game. So if it's not Monday, we'll find another day that we can do it.
Perfect. Or some suitable host to step in.
Yes, because Neil Warnock does the Aberdeen job part-time and Callum does the podcast part-time too.
All right.
Thanks very much for tuning into this episode. Until next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.